Well, let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me open this guy up. All right, so in 2 Peter chapter 3, I really like this chapter. It's a really good, practical chapter. I'm a practical kind of guy. I like things that, you know, I can use for my life today. Something I can take, I can read, and I can say, you know, Lord, how can you help me with my life? How can I serve you better today? And this is definitely one of those chapters that we can read and apply for, you know, what we do today, when you wake up tomorrow, and the day after that. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 1, but before we actually begin, why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, we are thankful that we can come here and we can meet as believers, and we can open up your word, and Lord, giving us that freedom, Lord, to do so freely. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and Lord, dying on the cross and giving us eternal life. And Lord, without you, Lord, we could do nothing, Lord. We wouldn't be anything. And we just thank you, Lord, for the change that you've made in our lives. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us now that you would teach us something, Lord, that we could learn more about you, Lord, that we can grow in grace, Lord, and that we can just know what you'd have us to do today. And we love you so much. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, as we look at this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, We read and we look at verse 1, it says that the chapter, or really the purpose of this book, is to stir up our mind. My vision here is thinking of, you know, a pot and, you know, how things settle. You know, in our mind, sometimes things settle and we forget. You know, we forget a lot of times the things maybe that we once believed, or the things we thought to be true, the things we thought to be right. And so sometimes we need to kind of stir up the pot. We need to kind of remember. If you look back to chapter 1, in chapter 1, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." And so even though we may be established in truth, even though we may know some things, now and then we need to go back and remember. We need to go back and remember different things, different fundamental truths that we believe, that we hold to, so that we don't forget. So that, you know, a lot of times we take for granted so many of the things that we believe in. We know them so well that we just don't really think about them. It's kind of weird. We become so familiar with maybe the basic truths that we hold to that they don't really hold so much weight in our lives anymore. And so in verse 1, we're encouraged and challenged to remember. What should we remember? Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. We need to be mindful of the things that we read in this book. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And so one of the things we need to remember, and the thing that we're going to be talking about today, is that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, we know in verse 3 that, you know, a lot of people don't believe what we believe. You know, a lot of people look at the thought of Jesus Christ coming back as, you know, not really something that's going to happen. A lot of Christians probably have gotten discouraged over the years, you know, thinking about the return of Jesus Christ and never seen anything happen. I mean, how many people have actually have made a prediction, you know, that Jesus Christ is going to come back on such and such a day? so many people. Who was the last man? What was his name? Camping. And I think I was in Africa when that happened. And it was all over the news. And the day came, and the day went. And you know what? Nothing happened. And you know what? There may have been some people that were discouraged over it. I'm sure there were plenty of people that looked at it and said, what? That's so ridiculous, even the thought of Jesus Christ coming back. And people in the world today don't need, these guys like Harold Camping to make a fool of themselves to mock Jesus Christ. They'll do it anyways. But, we know that in the last days, there's going to be scoffers. There's going to be people that look at this book, that look at the Word of God, and they're not going to take it seriously. And they're going to make light of it. And they're going to look at you for what you believe, and they're going to think you're crazy. And they're going to think that, you're just maybe old-fashioned because you still believe the Bible. And so in verse 3, we know there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We live in a day today that's a very intellectual society where we're so we put so much emphasis on the intellectual part that we really forget about God. Because, look at modern science today. Modern science really eliminates everything about God. Modern science eliminates, that God even created the world and everything that we see around us. The world today looks at the things around us and our lives, and they say, things are just going to continue as they have continued. People look at the idea that Jesus Christ will come back, and they say, they said Jesus was going to come back years ago. In my great-grandfather's day, they said Jesus was going to come back. And he never has. In my grandfather's day, in my father's day, people say things are just going to continue as they have continued. And, they can think that, but we know that's not going to be what's going to happen. And they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Okay, so we're giving the example of the days of Noah. Back in Noah's day, people said the same thing. They said, when Noah said there was going to be a flood, they said, things are just going to continue as they are. There's not going to be any rain. There's not going to be any flood. And people thought things would just go on in its natural order. But God, brought the water, and that changed everything. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Just like in the day of Noah, things did not continue. The earth that we see today is not going to continue as we know it. Things are not just going to evolve and life is just going to go on this earth as we know life to go on. We know God is going to come back. We know that one day this earth will come to an end. And we know that from the Word of God. In verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. What's the one thing? That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. A lot of times when we look at God, a lot of times people, they say God must not keep his promises. Even as we read verse 9, we see the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because there has been such a large space of time from Christ's ascension to today, it's easy to think that, maybe God has forgotten, or maybe he's just not coming back, or maybe something. And we doubt a lot of times, or we just forget about it. But what we need to remember is that one day, in verse 8, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. we can't put God on our timetable. We can't say, oh, you know what, it's been 2,000 years since Christ was on this earth. And so something must be wrong because he should have been back by now. You know, we can't say that. Because really, God is not a God to follow our time. Not that there isn't any time with God, but that we can't have God follow what we want, when we want, and how we want. In fact, the Bible, I mean, we know the Bible says that no man knows the time. And what's funny is that even with the Bible saying that, everyone's still trying to guess. They're still trying to predict a date, saying it's going to happen on this date, on that date, on that date. And they're all wrong. They're always all wrong. But you know what? We know that even though we can't know the date, we do know that Jesus is coming back. I mean, this has been the hope that Christians have clung to for how many years? 2,000 years. And you know what? Even today, it's still our hope. And we still believe that even though it's been a number of years, we still believe that he is going to come back. And it's not something that we think might happen, but it's something that we believe will happen. It's something that we know it's true, and we know it's imminent. And we know that God doesn't, in verse 9, we know that God, if he promises us one thing, he's not going to break his word. You know, what we're used to is we're used to people telling us something and then going back on what they said. You know, we see it all the time. But the thing is that it's not like that with God. When God tells us something in his word, we don't have to question it. We don't have to wonder, man, I wonder if that's really going to happen. Because we know that what God says is truth. And like I said, it may not happen when we want it to happen, but we know that one day it's going to. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, we know that the coming of Christ is going to come back as the thief in the night. Has any one of you ever had a thief come in your house or maybe steal something from you at all, ever? Anyone? No thieves. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's actually excellent. You know, we've had a couple thieves, even in Africa, you know, break in and, you know, take something. Even when I was in my car, I've had them, you know, reach in and, you know, and just steal tons of stuff. But the thing is, a thief is not going to let you know when they're coming. I mean, they're not going to leave a note on your front door saying, you know, just wanted to let you know we're coming at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, we're going to steal all your stuff. You know, that would seem ridiculous. You know, a thief comes naturally when you least expect it. And Jesus Christ is coming. And the correlation here is that Jesus Christ is coming when in a time that we don't know. Maybe it's a time that we're not going to expect him. But if we're living every day as if he was coming, then at least we're going to be ready, even though we don't know the time. And you know, the thing is, you would be amazed at how looking at the Lord's return and just dwelling on that and living that, it would change your life. Because when you're not thinking about how Jesus Christ is going to come back, then you might end up just doing whatever. You know, you're going to look at your life and who you are and what you want to do. And it's so easy for us just to concentrate on ourselves and what we want to do and our own goals and our own ambition. But when we think that, you know, Christ could come back today, tonight, tomorrow, you know what? It's going to change your life. Because now you're going to be thinking, you know, I only have so much time. And if I only have so much time, then what am I doing for Jesus Christ today? You know, and this has been really the thought that has motivated Christians for years, knowing that he could come back. It could be today. And we, in fact, I think there's a lot of songs in the hymnal about that. What if it were today? You know, and so this motivating factor, you know, I was talking in Zambia to some of our people at a Bible study in the village. And I was asking them, I was saying, if you knew that your President Sata, that he was going to come into this village today, what would you do? And they said, oh, we would get our brooms and we would sweep all of our dirt. They have dirt. They don't have grass around their huts. They have all dirt. And they sweep the dirt every day. So they would make their dirt really nice. They would clean their their mud huts, and they told me all the different things that they would do to get ready if the president were to come. And I said, well, what if you didn't even know when he was going to come, but you knew that he was coming? And they said, oh, we would always be ready. But, you know, we know the same thing, that Jesus Christ is coming back. But can we say that we're always going to be ready? Can we say that we are always ready with our actions, with our words, with our lives? Can we actually say, you know what, today I'm ready. If Jesus Christ were to come, I'm prepared. You know, that's something I'm not sure if we can all say all the time. So with all of this in mind, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is a great question right here in verse 11. Because we know that Jesus Christ is coming back, because we know that life as we know it is not going to continue, that this earth and everything we know one day is going to be dissolved. And that's an interesting thought. Because we know all that to be true, what kind of people should we be? What kind of person should you be? And if we look at verse 12, we're going to see what kind of people we need to be. Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, as Christians, the first thing we need to be, we need to be looking. You know, the Bible says we need to be looking for the hastening of the coming of the Lord. You know, looking is, it's when we're anticipating something to happen. Okay, the Bible says that we should be anticipating the Lord's return with joy and with gladness. It shouldn't be something that we're dreading. It shouldn't be something that, you know, we're fearing, like, oh no, he could come back today. You know, it should be something that it's our joy, and it gives us peace, and it gives us comfort knowing that, you know what, it could be today. And that would be a wonderful thing. You know, my children, in our house in Africa, we have this pretty big window that kind of overlooks where I pull in the driveway to our house. And every time I come home, you know, they always know, oh, Daddy's coming home. And I can always see their heads, you know, right there in the window, you know, one, two, three. And even sometimes the baby will be there. But a lot of times, you know, they're just looking with anticipation, wondering when their daddy will come home. And when I see their heads in the window, they're all, you know, screaming, you know, oh, Daddy's home. But that's how we need to be with God. That's how we need to be with the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot, you know, with my daughters, you know, I just have to leave the house and Felicia will go with her paper and she'll, I'm going to make Daddy a card, you know, because he left the house. or they'll make some kind of flower arrangement for me. Why? Because my return is something that they're anticipating. And they want to be ready and prepared that when, you know, Daddy walks in the door, they'll be ready and they'll have all their special things that they've made. But, you know, as Christians, it's the same thing. You know, Christ is coming back. And if we're looking for his return with anticipation, then our desire is going to be prepared and to be ready and to have something, to have a life that we can present to God, saying, Lord, here was my life, Lord, that I lived for you. And this is what I did for you. And so we know it's coming, but the question is, are we a people that are looking? You know, today, in the world that we live in, a lot of Christians today are not looking. I mean, they're looking at things, but they're not looking at the right thing. You know, we're distracted. We're distracted with materialism. We're distracted with so much that goes on around us. You know, the one thing that I found, we've been back here maybe 3 months in the United States, and it's so easy to get busy doing nothing here. You know, I could waste so much time just doing nothing but having a good time. But the thing is that we shouldn't be wasting our time. Time is something that is so valuable, and time is something that we can give to God. And we need to make sure that this event, that this Christ coming back, it needs to be something that takes priority in our life and that should be molding and shaping our decisions and how we live our life and how we act and how we conduct ourselves. as we look at verse 14, what kind of people should we be? Because we know that Jesus Christ is coming back. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So we saw that we need to be looking, but we also need to be diligent. A lot of times when we start doing something for God, and we see that the rest of the world scoffs at us, and they mock what we do, it's easy to kind of want to take a step back or kind of go hide. But we need to be diligent. We need to be faithful. We need to be not caring so much about what the world thinks about what we do and how we live our lives, because they don't care about people looking at them and how they live their lives. But we have someone to live for, and we have something that is true and that we know that we can uphold with our lives. And so we need to be diligent. I'm not familiar with what activities that you all have with church here in this town, but even without, not even looking at the activities, when you go to work or when you go to school or if you're in college or if you're just going to the store, we need to be diligently finding opportunities that we can serve God. We need to be diligently, maybe not even, and it might not be about giving someone a gospel tract. Maybe it's just about living a consistent life for God. Maybe it's just about being faithful. Just living your life so that people can look at you and see your works and glorify your God which is in heaven. And so we need to be diligently serving him. We need to be faithful in our lives and our actions, not just when we come to church. Our Christianity cannot be like a light switch where, okay, we're in church, click, now we're Christians, and we leave church, and okay, now we can live like we want to live. We need to be always on. In verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, again, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We need to be a people that are cautious, that can beware of certain things. The Bible says as we get closer to the day when Jesus Christ is going to come back, there's going to be many people that will lead others away from the truth. We call them false prophets, false teachers, whatever you want to call them. But the Bible says that they're going to be there, and we need to beware. Okay? Why do we need to beware? The Bible says, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. So whether it's, being led astray with some false heretical teaching, the pastor mentioned Calvinism, false teaching is popping up. Or it could just be being led away with the error of the wicked. When I was in Africa, we were gone for about 4 years this past time. And when I came back, I had a couple of good friends that who were living for God when I left. And then when I come back, just living wicked lives. And it's discouraging. It really is. Because we were friends, and coming back and you see the choices they've made and the things they've decided to do, and it's kind of like, what happened? Well, they didn't beware of the error of the wicked, and they were not cautious, and they weren't diligent, and they weren't looking for the coming of God, and all these things didn't matter, and the Bible didn't matter. But with us in our lives, this is something that, and it's not just something that's a one-time decision. It's something that we need to be deciding every day. When we wake up in the morning, when we read our Bible, we need to be praying, asking the Lord, Lord, give me the strength that I need for today. Lord, give me the strength that I need when I go to work today. Lord, help me as I go maybe to college today. If I'm going to school, Lord, help me as I go to the school today that I can live for you, that I can be faithful for you. Because in the world, it's hard sometimes to live for God. No one likes standing alone. It's not fun a lot of times to be the oddball, to always have to do the right thing. And sometimes, honestly, it feels good just to kind of go with the crowd. But, God wants us to follow him. And sometimes following him means that we have to be the oddball out. Sometimes following him means that we need to stand alone. that we need to make the right choice even when everyone else is not. And so we need to beware because, you know what, we might fall. I mean, you know, we say, oh, I'll never fall. But you know what? It could happen if we're not careful. And then verse 18, and lastly, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, what kind of people should we be because we know that Christ is coming? Well, we need to be people that are growing. We need to be people that are growing. You know, as you grow and as you mature in the Lord, you get to know Him better. You know His desires more. You know what He wants in your life, and you know His will and His plan for what He wants you to do in your life. But this is something that takes time as you grow. You know, maybe you saw some of my children. My oldest daughter, she's 6 years old. But, you know, my daughter Felicia, she's 6 years old. She's about this tall. You know, 20 years from now, if she looked the same, what would you think? If I came back in 20 years and I walked in and, you know, Felicia was just, you know, like she is today, you'd say, ah, oh, there's a problem. There's a problem there. Something is wrong. But, you know, spiritually, a lot of times we don't grow. You know, year after year, we may remain the same. Hopefully we are growing. But, you know, we may remain the same and we don't think anything of it. We don't think that it's a bad thing necessarily. We just don't really think about it. But, you know, if we saw a physical manifestation of our inward relationship with God, I think we would all be shocked and say, wow, I need to grow. I need to mature. I need to know Christ more. And, you know, the more of a desire that you have in your heart to know Christ more, the more you're going to want to follow Him. The more you're going to have the desire to be diligent. You're going to have the desire to follow in His ways, because knowing God's heart is going to be transferred to your desires as well. And so we need to be growing in grace. And it says at the end of the chapter, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so, you know, the last thing here is about giving glory to God. You know, through everything that happens, we talked about, you know, about looking, about being diligent. We talked about being cautious. We talked about growing. But why should we do that? I mean, why should we be faithful as Christians? Why not just do what everybody else does? I mean, why do we come to church? Why are we all here today? We're here, and we do what we do, you know, and I'm going to Africa, and I do that because we want to give glory to God. That's the whole reason for everything we do, is so that God gets the glory in our lives, in our actions, in our conduct. When people look at our lives, you know, when people look at our family, I don't want them to look at our family and say, oh, what a wonderful family that is. They're just awesome. You know, I want them to look at us and to glorify God for what He's doing in our lives. You know, because honestly, there's nothing special about me. You know, I'm just your average guy. But you know what? We serve a great God, a God that's able to do far more than I am or that we can combined. And, you know, and because of that, He deserves the glory. You know, a lot of times we get distracted with ourselves, you know, and we think that we're something. And it's actually quite funny because if you think about it, I mean, we bear the name Christian, which is bearing the name of Christ. So we don't even have our own name. We're bearing Christ's name, doing His work with His book, preaching His words. And so there's nothing about us. There's no element of us that's in this equation. But yet, a lot of times we think that we're so great. But you know what? We're not great. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about living for Him. It's about being prepared when He comes back. And while we wait, it's about serving Him faithfully. And so, really, my challenge for all of us today is, you know what? Christ may come back. Are we ready? Are we prepared? You know, if we knew that He was going to come back in 5 minutes and an hour and a half an hour, whatever, I mean, some people would be scared. Some people would be rejoicing. There would be mixed feelings. But, you know, we all should be rejoicing in the fact that Christ is coming back. but are we ready and are we prepared? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and we're thankful, Lord, that you are coming back. Lord, that you will return just like you've told us in your word. Lord, we don't have to doubt it. Lord, we know that it's true. And Lord, help us that we would live our lives for you. Lord, help us to make the right decisions. Lord, that we would be faithful, that we could be diligent. Lord, in a world that really is going crazy, crazy with sin and doing the things that are contrary to how you'd have us to live. And Lord, help us that we would be the light, Lord, that we need to be. Lord, that when people look at us, Lord, that they wouldn't see us, Lord, but they would see you. And we love you so much. And we ask you, Lord, to bless your people here and their work for you as they serve you in this town and in this community. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.